All right. Here we go on the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to Everything You Need to Know About Music in Three Songs, where we are going to teach you everything you need to know about music in three songs, and you get to hear about it from the perspective of a 20-something-year-old.
That's you.
That is me, and a 40-something-year-old.
And that is me. And a special guest tonight.
A literal 20-year-old.
20-year-old Jack. How we doing, Jack?
Hello, hello. I'm doing good.
So you're going to go tonight, and who have you decided to do for us tonight?
I figured it's only fair to discuss Lynyrd Skynyrd after a night of bass fishing.
Okay. Wow.
There was a gator involved, too.
There was a gator involved. You were aggressive with the gator. Why Lynyrd Skynyrd? As a 20-year-old.
Wait, time out. Before he answers, I just want everyone to know, who doesn't know Jack, that until about 2 weeks ago, he had a mullet down to his shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
Shaved on the sides, down to his shoulders.
It was
Sorry,
long.
Now
Mom,
you can answer.
Wow, Mom let you have that, huh?
I kind of forgot about that.
Tell me why, Lynyrd Skynyrd, why tonight you want to do that for me, and where did it come from?
He's passing around pictures.
Let me see it.
Because this is not a video podcast, I'll just have to narrate. It is long.
It is luscious. All right, no, textbook. All right. Why Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Well, I mean, when I heard that it wasn't taken, like some y'all hadn't already done it.
No one's done it.
I was like, well, I might as well. I mean, it's one of my favorite bands. I've listened to them probably one of the longest out of any bands.
Really?
You listen to them pretty much nonstop.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well, I have a playlist that's them, Marshall Tucker, and Molly Hatchet.
That's all, and I listen to my drive to work every day.
There's a little bit of Outlaws in there, a little bit. There's some random stuff sprinkled around, but mainly it's those three bands, and it's I think it's a solid playlist.
Where did the love for Skynyrd come from? No, it's got to be so. I mean, there has to be.
Pop's kind of introduced us to it a little bit. I mean, Jack's my brother, if anyone didn't know that, so
that helps.
Yeah, our parents are always playing, I mean, Southern rock, classic rock, country, everything.
Okay.
So I guess it's just something I heard, and I was like, "Oh, that sounds pretty good."
And you just attached to it.
Yeah.
I feel like Skynyrd more than a lot of other Southern rock bands, because I have to put them in that category. Would you be okay with that if I put them in that category?
I mean, you can, but we'll talk about this in a little bit. But
all right,
they are definitely more of a blues rock band than
blues rock
than any, or just blues than any of the other Southern rock bands.
Oh, I'm going to press you on that. I would like to hear your interpretation of that. But wait, okay. What I was going to say is, as a Southern rock band, they have a particular vibe that's, I think, unique to them specifically. It's very pro-Southern, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right? It is in your face. Here's where we're from, and we're singing about it.
Yeah.
They're Florida boys like us.
Yeah.
They went to Robert E. Lee High School in Jacksonville, Florida.
So really?
That might have something to do with this.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, sure. No, I don't mean it. Yeah, I just think, and they're proud of it. And it's really comes through in their music. I think it's really cool.
It does. And I mean, also,
for
most
example,
of their influences were black, though. So that's kind of a thing. So I actually read some articles on this about how they have mixed signals, because at parts it's like gun-toting rednecks, and then at parts, I mean, their song Saturday Night Special is basically an anti-gun song.
Oh,
well, anti-handgun anyways.
Right.
But so they have this kind of contradictory thing of like rebel flags, but also all of their idols, like Sunhouse and like a lot of these blues guys, are all black.
Yeah, interesting.
And like all their idols are black.
Well, and, you know, we're at a time where this is kind of tough to talk about, but like back in the 70s when they were really prevalent, like I think that Southern flag wasn't necessarily as big of a a divisive symbol as maybe it is seen as now. So
that's
fair. I don't think that they probably waved it around in that way.
Yeah,
that's fair. So how do you want to take me down this path of yours for Lynyrd Skynyrd?
I mean, I think there's two things. You mentioned the vibe,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to go with that also. But also context, because our last episode was Jimi Hendrix, and this is kind of, I mean, the next decade. It's kind of the next era of music, and it's kind of weird to think about that's where it came from.
Right.
Because it's not really the derivative of the music, but like,
yeah,
that's kind of the era before it.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
It's weird to think about how different this was.
And for sure.
How everyone was kind of either like you had the old country singers, and then you had like kind of the new up and coming like Janis Joplin and all those people. So this was kind of weird because it was a little bit different than that.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd probably just start by talking about their background. I mean, they were a high school band at Robert E. Lee High School or whatever in Jacksonville.
Okay.
And they started a band called My Backyard.
And really? I didn't know them.
Yeah. And then eventually it changed to another, I think it changed to another name, but then eventually it ended up at its final name, Lynyrd Skynyrd, which actually was a kind of a mockery of their PE coach.
I thought it was the janitor. Was it the PE coach?
His PE coach.
You're probably okay. Right. You know more than I did.
It was the PE coach. His name was Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, like come on.
Spelled normal. Spelled normal, like Lynyrd.
Right,
normal.
Right.
Skynyrd, like with two N's.
Right? Yeah, right.
So then they go and spell it all weird, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and then...
that's where the name comes from.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Yeah. And the reason why...
You knew
why,
this, Cam?
Yeah. I also listened to the Lynyrd Hatchett Tucker band playlist every morning on the way to work, so...
You know, if you pressed me on where the name came from, I would have no idea.
Yeah. It's kind of weird really one. Cool. And the funny thing is because it's like, that's such like a high school slash post high school thing to do.
Sure.
Like he was always getting on him for having long hair. Because, like, same thing with the contest.
Yeah, that's what it was. The coach was always ripping him for having long hair.
And
they
context,
were like, oh, yeah, watch this.
We're talking about Jimi Hendrix and, like, you're going on that hippie era thing. They were kind of in, like, the rebel, like, we're going to have long hair. We're going to do what we want.
That's
kind of funny.
That's cool.
But then. Yes, I guess I kind of started it there. Probably troublemakers in high school, if I had to guess.
That's a fair bet. That's a fair bet.
But anyways, they started actually making music, and they were going around a bunch of different dive bars and like even like just ranch concerts, like just playing everywhere in North Florida and like probably Georgia and stuff. But they had all sorts of crazy stories. I believe it was before Ronnie Van Zant, the lead singer, was 21. They went into a bar, and he starts dancing with this girl and dancing with her or whatever and chatting with her. And this guy walks up and pulls a gun on him.
Oh.
And he's like, whoa, 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 I didn't know. And this, I mean, he's drinking on a fake ID or whatever,
right.
Snuck in. And all of a sudden, he's got this guy pointing a gun at him. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's just like, give me 3 steps, I'm out of here. And he runs.
Come on.
And that's the story. It's actually a true story.
No, come on. I love that. That's great.
I watched this thing, and this guy that was actually like there that night like talked about it, and he's like, yeah, he got a gun pulled on him for dancing with this girl, and then he just said, just leave me alone. I didn't even kiss her. I didn't do anything. I'm just trying to leave.
No, come on. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Here's Give Me 3 Steps.
Now I know where the name comes from and this song. I'm already learning so much.
Excited. They're just punks.
I love it. So good. It kind of follows the song a little bit too, or the story, the song,
yeah,
doesn't it? Yeah.
He just walks in.
This is a good song.
Yeah, it really is.
But I will say,
give me the 3 step.
This
part.
Is as a. Oh, sorry.
Hold on a second.
Damn.
All right, go ahead. Say what you're gonna say. Go ahead.
No, I'll say it after.
I forgot where the part is. It comes up. Go.
Yeah, it's a long ways long. But this is one of their more famous songs, but I got to say, this is not one of my favorite Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Absolutely
songs.
Not. I 100% agree
no,
with that.
No,
it's definitely
I'm okay.
Not one of my favorite songs.
It
That's
is,
why I didn't
it's
put
a,
it
wait,
my top
sorry,
three.
It's a crowd favorite, though.
It is a crowd favorite,
They
though.
Got plenty of
Big
crowd
We talked about this with the Jimi Hendrix stuff. Seriously,
yeah.
It, the crowd favorites are there for people to kind of get
Lynyrd Skynyrd's such a great
into
example
it.
Of that.
It doesn't mean that they're their best songs, though. Right? Isn't
Here
that
you go.
Fair?
I skip Sweet Home Alabama most of the time.
Yeah, I know. Give me 3 steps, give me 3 steps, mister. Give me 3 steps towards the door. Give me 3 steps. But see, now that you told me the story, I'll never hear the song the same way again. I'll always hear it now as a story.
Ronnie Van Zant getting a gun pulled on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, go ahead. Sorry. All right.
No, but so they just, I mean, crazy, random North Florida kids that were just deciding to make music. And they talk about it in, I think it's Curtis Lowe. He talks about one of the influences, Sunhouse. And I actually went and listened to him. He's just old blues. So while they were performing just around a random string of dive bars and probably around the Florida, Georgia line, like North Florida or whatever,
right,
they played at this this one event, and it was out at a ranch, and they had this venue, and the venue had, I forget what they call it, but it was basically a mixture of fishing line and chicken wire.
Okay.
In between the stage and the crowd, because the crowd was known to get rowdy and throw bottles if they didn't like the band.
Okay.
So they're sitting there performing their show or whatever, and all of a sudden they start hearing gunshots in the place, and they're like, so they stop for a second. They're like, what the hell is going on? And the manager's like, no, everything's fine. That means they like you. And apparently at this dive bar in 1970 North Florida, just
come on,
that was their trend. They would just...
I love this bar.
Yeah, I kind of want to go.
That sounds safe. But sure.
That's kind of just their thing.
The tradition was if they like the band, they'll shoot at you.
They really no, not shoot at oh, you. Just shoot the ceiling. Up. Yeah, they just
sure, sure.
Just shoot in the ceiling because you know rain doesn't happen in Florida.
Holy smokes! Okay, all right.
But yeah, so that's just kind of my thing. Is like those are kind of the weird, interesting things you learn and figure out, and I think it's kind of shows where they come from. It's just kind of there's just these random kids that just ran around doing dumb stuff, and they eventually had enough cool dumb stories to talk about. And people wanted to hear them shred the guitar. The next thing you know,
how
they
many
got crazy
people in
hits.
The band?
I don't know that. I do know that it cycled a lot. The original band, I believe. Because
it's a big band.
Well, you know why it cycled a lot, right? Because they died.
No. The band stopped for 10 years after they died. They went on tour. The plane crash was 1979, and they went on tour again in 1987. So, whatever. But the people that died in the plane crash were Ronnie Van Zant,
relatively
Steve,
important. Say who that is.
Ronnie Van Zant's the lead singer. Right. And one of the main guitar players, and then Steve Gaines, who was the main guitar player, along with I forget the guy's name, Rossignol, and
the
his
other
sister
dude, who did the Freebird solo. Who was that?
There was three parts to that solo. There's three different guitar parts.
Yeah. Wait, oh, really?
In Freebird, yeah. There's three guitarists that do
that. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was
and
by
most
one.
Most people think it's
dude,
one
the guy
dude.
With the A.
No, it's actually three parts.
Well, actually, this song kind of. This wasn't one of my three songs because I didn't want to make.
Wow, you didn't pick this song.
Well, because everyone.
What do you mean you can't?
Because everyone. Right, hear me out. Okay. Everyone's heard it. You've heard it.
Yeah, but
and it's 9 minutes long. I didn't want
to
make you guys listen to the
whole
thing.
No, nor should you. It's for people to do on their own.
Exactly.
But it's it. I mean, it is incredible. It's an incredible production.
What I was going to say is it has both parts. It has all parts of the band, all parts of their vibe. It's a little bit kind of slow and. A little bit bluesy, tiny bit spacey,
This song invokes
emotion.
And then it goes into
a guitar solo that sums up the end of their career. Street Survivors, that song, that album had some bangers on it, and that's one of the songs I chose.
Oh, sweet, I'm going to learn
something.
I don't know that.
Their career, don't get me wrong, this song was on their first album. They had plenty of songs that had crazy guitar solos at the beginning,
right.
But they also had a lot more blues stuff kind of in the beginning and middle of their career.
All right. But
I don't know,
yeah, but this song is really special.
It has all parts of their
okay.
stuff to it.
Okay. All right. We won't talk about it any more than that. But for those that don't know Skynyrd, need to understand Freebird is really important.
They're crazy. They do all these crazy. They're basically crazy rednecks.
Were drugs involved?
I would assume so. If they're making a song,
the answer is yes. The answer is absolutely not.
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
I meant maybe I should ask it differently. Well, I didn't know if they were like a druggy band.
Yes. Well, some of them were. I mean, that smell is about. I can't even remember which one of them getting so into drugs and having to go to rehab and crashing his car and not being able to play anymore. I can't remember his name. One of the lead guys.
I assume
car
so, but
high on drugs and became a paraplegic and could no longer play in the band.
I forgot about that.
And they
that.
Used to wheel him out on stage and play the song "That Smell," and everyone would just like have to watch this poor dude who used to be the rock star be up there and be in his wheelchair, paraplegic. Yeah,
That's what that smells about.
Yeah.
We gotta put
a great song. And when you hear it, if you're not thinking about it, you think it's a party song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too much smoke. Too much coke. Yeah, you're like. We'll be right back.
tune too. I haven't heard this in a long time. Oak tree, you're in my way. There's too much coke
and too much smoke. Look what's going on. Alan Collins, and that's who I was thinking was the Freebird main guitarist, and he was the main guitarist that's all.
Can't you smell that? All right. See, right. I'm not going to hear that song same way anymore.
This is from an article. This is not me reading, or not me saying it off memory, but just what I'm reading. Van Zandt's inspiration for the song was the increasing reckless indulgence of the band's member, culminating in the event when guitarist Gary Rossington crashed his Ford Tarantino into an oak tree.
Gary.
Yep.
Yeah.
Along Mandarin Road in Jacksonville, Florida, after excessive consumption of drugs and alcohol.
What year is this? What is this? Early '70s?
Their first album, I believe, came out in 1971.
71, okay.
And then I don't have any of the dates written down
or anything.
All I know is their second album came out in 74.
Okay.
But regardless, it's wild that these guys were crazy, but also a lot of their songs were bluesy, and I mean, if there's one way I could sum it up, if I just had magical retrospection time traveling and I wouldn't have hung out with them for a day, I bet you what would happen is they'd party. Almost like the Motley Crue.
Right.
And the next day wake up and either go fish the morning topwater bite or go shoot a deer. And that's pretty wild. That is something that's new because I can't think of anybody else that was doing that before then. Just being absolute animals, but also at the same time being a country singer.
I went to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, not in 1974.
No, that's true.
All right, there you go. All
right. That's fair.
But I think that was part of their pioneering is this whole new, like, that was, I think they were kind of new on that attitude of like.
For sure. They're the band that personified like that the Southern.
South, the South isn't just Conway Twitty.
Right.
They are the Southern rock band.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Everyone thinks of them as a rock band because they hear maybe they're Freebird or maybe they.
And by the way, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I just want to hear your interpretation of this.
My interpretation doesn't come from necessarily like a musical thing. Like I play bass, but I'm not like. In the technicalities like you are.
Okay.
Like, I don't know all that. But I do, you can hear a song, and you naturally can place a genre.
That's fair.
And yeah, a lot of their stuff, and I know some of their stuff is 100% not a rock song.
Yes, I agree with you.
But then, a lot of their stuff, but then you look at some of their stuff, which was That Smell, which we just played, which was going to be one of my songs, is 100% a rock song.
Yes.
So they have both.
They definitely do.
And that's what I love about Freebird. Like I said, I didn't choose it as one of my songs, but that's what I love about Freebird is it has both. It starts out as a blues song, and by the time it's over, you've experienced a whole another genre.
You're right.
It's a wild transformation.
It's like a story.
It builds.
Yeah.
Camp said it best. It brings out emotion.
It does.
Drywall better be careful. I'll run through a door.
All right, so where are you going to take me now?
We're going to go to their second album, Second Helping.
Okay.
And by the way, their first album was 1973, not 71.
Okay.
I was misspoken on that one. But this is 74, Second Helping, Swamp Music.
Ooh.
I freaking love this song.
It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Swamp. What is the name of the song?
Swamp Music.
Swamp Music. All right.
This song's one of the reasons I got a hound dog. Not kidding.
Stop.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. That's pure blues. Here's the one into the two. Three. And then bring it into the four. Yeah. That's exactly right.
It is just this the whole time.
And you know, this is the song, and it says something about Sunhouse, who's an old blues guy. And I don't know a whole lot of his stuff, but I looked him up because of the songs.
Yeah.
Like, the hound dog sounds like old Sunhouse singing the blues. So he's singing his Beagle sounds like.
No, really?
The Beagle singing the blues, too.
Are we going to get a little lead here?
How do they get that keyboard to sound like a Beagle 2 is pretty good.
There you go.
And it continues to to be a blues song for the rest of the song.
Hold on. All right, I totally agree with you. That is pure blues. That is in the 1-4-5 progression. That is in the blues scale. That is, it is exactly the blues patterning. The one and the two, the repeating and the three into the four. It's literally a blues song. I will give you that. That is absolutely
right.
And it's
perfect. And you know what it is? It is pure Florida. This song, you can tell they wrote it in Florida.
I love it.
And they actually, this is, I hate to interrupt this song, but they actually had a, I believe it's called the Hell House in North Florida. And I forget what river it was on. And I might be butchering that name. But they had a house in North Florida where they wrote a lot of their songs. No AC.
Oh,
no
geez.
Wind. Like a real... Yeah.
A proper hell house.
A proper trap house.
Yeah, got it. Oh, my
I mean,
gosh.
In the swamps, and that's why they wrote a lot of our stuff. You can feel
you, the, yeah,
they
it comes
wrote
through.
It, there.
It comes through, yeah. For sure. All right, let me ask you this, because you know Skinner so well. All right, let me ask you this question. Taking away all of the major hits, all the stuff that we know as Skinner songs, right? All the popular stuff. Is most of the stuff that we don't know or that most people don't hear like this?
My next song is even more bluesy than this.
Really? Yeah.
My next song is even more bluesy than this, but a lot of their stuff is a mix. I mean, I would say a lot of their stuff is like you got Gypsy Roll, you got like Whiskey Rock and Roll that are kind of like both. They're kind of like bluesy, but also very... This would be on their bluesier side. Okay. My next song is kind of on their blue, definitely on their bluesier side.
Okay.
And then That Smell is on the more rock side.
Right.
But their middle is just Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's both.
Okay.
And it's both okay. In a weird way. It's not like Freebird where it's both at different times.
Right.
It's both at the same time.
Okay.
And they're playing that kind of jam band, like kind of fast, but at the same time it's blues, but that electric guitar is going crazy.
All right. Okay. So, all right. So where are you going to take me now?
This next one, honestly, probably one of my favorite album names of all time.
Which is what?
Nothing Fancy.
Spelled
N-U-T-H-I-N apostrophe fancy.
That is so them.
And
it's
is beautiful. I mean, they great song. Saturday Night Special, Railroad Song. They were Made in the Shade, Whiskey Rock and Roller.
Sure.
But the one I want to show you.
Okay.
Well, also On the Hunt is one of the best songs of all time. We might get to that.
All
but
right. All right.
That
is
truly one of... That's probably...
That's going to replace
Swami's
my third
my
song.
Favorite. That's probably my second favorite.
I think that's going to replace my third song because it is also very much
really?
A rock song.
Oh,
it's a good one.
Song.
Okay, I don't know.
But
that
while we're on the blues kick...
All right. And the name of this one is?
Cheating Woman.
Cheating Woman.
1974.
Oh, it's already bluesy. All right. Okay.
Absolutely.
A cheating woman to make you crazy.
Oh.
A cheating woman to make you a fool. She'll leave your house so lonely. Brother, there's nothing that you
is really good. That is really slow blues for sure.
100%. Without a doubt, my favorite bass line of all time.
Wait, now I gotta listen to it even more.
When you knew you wasn't true.
It is tight.
You love every man with pants on. Yes, it does it for you.
Is really good.
Well, I'm gonna get my pistol, girl. I'm gonna shoot you and end your world. You won't bother me.
How about that organ?
I was just okay,
golly.
That's what I was gonna say. They do such a great job incorporating that into the band. It's such a subtle but like important piece.
Oh, God.
No, it's well done. That is really well done. That is, yeah.
One of my all-time favorite songs.
It's in the blues minor scale. It is a minor blues song. That is a quintessential minor blues.
Beautiful song.
It is awesome. All right, you got me there. That one, I'm going to add to my playlist. That's absolutely fantastic.
All right, well, on the same album.
Cheating Woman.
Cheating Woman. Also with an apostrophe.
Again with an apostrophe.
Cheating Woman off of the...
Nothing Fancy.
Nothing Fancy album. All right,
I love that name because you know, that's they just did their thing. Yeah, they're that's like,
it, yeah. What do you want to call? What do you want to call it? Nothing Fancy.
Nothing Fancy.
Nothing Fancy.
Or no. Or what do you want for this show? Nothing Fancy. Nothing fancy. Just give us a stage. Just give us a stage. We're gonna sell it out.
Wow. All right. Well done. Well picked.
Well, that was good.
So how many studio albums did they have?
So before the plane crash in 1977.
Right.
They had pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd, Second Helping, Nothing yeah. Fancy, right. Gimme Back My Bullets, and Street Survivors.
So five. With the original members.
With Ronnie. Well, some of the original members still tour. Like, I think Gary Rosington still does.
In the original formation. I
might be just saying that, but...
Their frontman died in the plane crash.
Their frontman, one of the main guitarists, Steve Gain, and his sister, one of the iconic backup singer, Cassie Gain... Or Cassie Gaines also died in that plane crash.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of a weird, kind of sad side note. The Street Survivors album, which was released the same year that they died, originally had flames on them standing in front of a bunch of flames.
Oh, that's weird.
And so when they sold it, they actually changed the album cover. But on Apple Music and stuff, you can still see.
Oh, come on! No way.
Flames on it.
Wow.
So that's just kind of a weird side fact, but it's a great album. That's what That Smell was off of. So that's kind of their later stuff. Like you could tell that if that hadn't happened and the band had maintained its trajectory, they would have loved the '80s.
So, that's a good way to say it.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and play "On the Hunt" because I think that's just.
Is this one of your favorite songs?
This is one of my favorite songs.
Yes, for
it's
me.
Also it's
and is
also Cam's nothing
your
fancy.
Favorite song.
No, I mean it's definitely up there.
Up there.
It is probably number two.
It's got
I
one of the most
swamp music. I don't know why. It's just such a great little.
It
tune.
Is. It's so
well,
catchy.
You guys are Florida boys.
It just
we
makes
are
you want to
Florida boys.
It but. Makes you want to run around barefoot in mud.
It does.
And tackle, okay, and tackle
yeah,
things.
This I want.
And tackle things violently.
We were tooling around with gators literally before we
literally,
got in here. So,
literally, yeah. Yeah, in the pond. Okay, all right, let me hear it. Go ahead.
All right.
The riff's incredible.
Beautiful. So is the bass.
Off of which album?
Nothing Fancy.
Oh, no, that's my album. That little riff is awesome.
The bass is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's
too.
Really good. Always tight. Great dive bar music.
Oh, it is dive.
Holy smokes.
If I had a time machine.
Right?
Wow.
If you go out drinking to bars, like playing darts, that's what you want to hear.
This is smoky pool music.
Smoky pool room music. Yeah, well said.
That piano's ridiculous.
That's really well done. That's good. Wow. Okay. All right. You got me.
I would say
too.
This probably is my. It's so hard, but this might be my favorite album by theirs.
That's really good. Because it's nothing fancy, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Wow. All right. Okay.
That's a good one.
I'm gonna ask Cam a question. So, why Skynyrd for you?
Why Skynyrd for me?
Yeah.
Is
it a vibe you picked up on from your brother?
No. Oh. If anything, Jack got it probably from me. I mean,
I probably got encouraged. I mean, riding to school with them.
Yeah, I mean, I used to play, you know, I'm, 5 years older, and so I drove to school, And we would listen to this stuff on the way to and from school all the time.
And by the way, you're not the first person to tell me that story of the younger brother being influenced by the car ride to school and the older brother being like the person in control of the music.
Well, every single day you drive to school.
Yeah. And you don't get a choice.
You don't get a choice. You're younger. You just deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, he could play.
So we have extremely similar
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, you have to.
I would say that we have the most similar music taste of anyone that I know. Like,
really?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's virtually identical.
Probably. But now that we're older, I do show him stuff. And he does.
He's got me into a little bit of like, you know, like a lot of punk and metal from back in the...
I can supply.
Back in the day. He got me into Motorhead, which is pretty funny.
Wow.
I still love Motorhead and Metallica.
So you started the Skinner thing he ran with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I think the...
I would still give credit to the parents.
Yeah.
Then it got reinforced.
And it's the vibe. I mean, it's definitely the vibe. Like you said, I mean,
yeah.
we're Florida kids.
But
we
did your dad listen to those deep tracks, though?
He'd know him though.
Oh, he does. He does know him for sure.
If we played him, he'd know him. But he's not pumping him in the car. Listen, he's gotten to the age where he's at retirement music. He listens to a lot of Kenny Chesney, and Jimmy Buffett. And so.
Okay, a little softer. All right, that's fair. All right, so let me push you one more thing. If you were to give me one of your songs from Skynyrd, what's the song you would?
Not one that I already picked.
Not one that Jack picked.
You're putting him
not
on the spot.
Not one that Jack...
Yeah.
You are putting me on the spot. It would be from Second Helping, which is my favorite Lynyrd Skynyrd album.
Okay.
Needle in the Spoon.
That's a great one, too. Right, Swamp Music's great, but... It would maybe be I Need You. I freaking love that.
All right, well, that's another one. We're playing.
All right, let's play that. Let's ride out to that one, then.
This is a good ride out song.
Okay, all right.
This
and
is
let's
a great ride out song.
I agree with your blues assessment.
The sound is so compressed. Everything is so compressed down in this album. The entire album sounds like this. They mix it different than any of their other albums.
Really?
It's incredible. Yes.
It's beautiful.
All right, well, let me hear it.
Name of the song is...
I Need You on Second Helping.
All right, we'll let this ride out, and we will say thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Well done, by the way, on the blues stuff. I'm totally with you.